My entire career has been in marketing, yet I am so unfamiliar with the ins and outs of public relations, especially when it comes to creating press releases. I know they can be great for generating buzz around your business, but I just don't know how to approach them. And if that's me, a person whose livelihood is marketing, I can't imagine how confusing press releases are for the average solopreneur. So today we're joined by Mickey Kennedy, founder of eReleases, a press release distribution service for small businesses who helps people get more PR value for their dollars, which sounds pretty amazing. Let's just say Mickey knows what he's talking about. We invited him on to discuss things like what exactly a press release is, the benefits, how they work, when to use press releases and when not to, best practices for optimizing conversion rates on releases, other types of PR solopreneurs should consider, calculating the ROI of PR, which can be a challenge, but he discusses how to do so, plus so much more. So don't miss this episode. Be sure to tune in. You're listening to The Aspiring Solopreneur, the podcast for those just taking the bold step or even just thinking about taking that step into the world of solo entrepreneurship. My name is Carly Reese, and my co-host Joe Rando and I are your guides to navigating this crazy but awesome journey as a company of one. We take pride in being part of Lifestar, a digital hub dedicated to all aspects of solopreneurship that has empowered and educated countless solopreneurs looking to build a business that resonates with their life's ambitions. We help people work to live, not live to work. And if you're looking for a get-rich-quick scheme, this is not the show for you. So if you're eager to gain valuable insights from industry experts on running a business the right way the first time around, or want to learn from the missteps of solopreneurs who've paved the way before you, then stick around. We've got your back because flying solo in business doesn't mean you're alone. Okay. So before we jump into this episode, I just have to share this new free offer we have called the Solo Suite Starter. Being a solopreneur is awesome, but it's not easy. It's hard to get noticed, and most business advice is for bigger companies, and you're all alone. Until now, Lifestar's Solo Suite gives you free education, community, and tools to build a thriving one-person business. So if you're lacking direction, having a hard time generating leads, having trouble keeping up with everything you have to do, or even if you're just lonely running a company of one, be sure to check out Solo Suite Starter at lifestarwith2rs.com and click on products and pricing at the top menu. It's the first one in the dropdown. Again, it's totally free, so check it out at lifestarwith2rs.com, click on products and pricing, and it's the first one in the menu. Hope to see you there. Mickey, we talked about this offline, but these glasses, I'm so excited that you and your glasses are both on the show today. If you're not watching this on YouTube and you're listening to this, go to YouTube. They are awesome. We're so excited to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, and I also, so it's really funny. I'm in marketing, and people assume that if you're in marketing, especially as a solopreneur, they think you can do everything. They think you know all aspects of it. You can do advertising. You can write content. You could do PR. You could do everything. I have no idea how to do PR. I've been in marketing since I was 17 years old. It was my first internship at an ad agency. And so having you on today is so, so special because I feel like a lot of solopreneurs just don't know this area of marketing. When they learn about it, they learn how to do a lead magnet, how to do basic PPC ads. And this is just a different area that a lot of people aren't familiar with. So I guess let's start with the basics for people to do new to this and new to the world of PR. I want to talk about press releases today first. And so what is a press release? How do they work? What are they? What are the benefits? Yada, yada, yada.
So a press release is just an announcement, usually written in the third person. You might have a first person quote. And they're written very simply, using sort of a top-down approach of the most important elements first, like the headline and opening sentence. And then, you know, as you get down, you can put least important information. Usually there's a boilerplate. Usually recognize that as it'll say, you know, about company or about the person. And then it's just something that gets recycled and used, sort of like your elevator pitch in every press release. And then a media contact. And that's basically it. It's usually sent to members of the media. And the goal isn't to have them take the press release and publish it, but to actually have them turn that into an article where they write about you. We call that earned media. One of the things that is useful out there is a wire. And there in the U.S., there's basically a duopoly of two major news wires of press releases. There's other wires that are out there. You've probably heard Reuters, UPI, AP, those places, and they work differently. They don't run press releases. They couldn't, because their whole business is taking content they've written and licensing it to websites and newspapers, rather than their staff writing all these articles that are the same national event. They'll just have one person write it at Reuters, and several newspapers run it. In the case of press release news wires, they're making these available to members of the media. They're given logins. They can look at industry feeds. They can also create customized feeds so that, there's segments of the industry that they don't cover. So they can set up keywords to exclude, keywords to include. And so it becomes a very customized feed for them that follows exactly or pretty close to the beat that they report on. And, one of the good things about having a duopoly in the U.S. is that, there's only two places for most journalists to go. So it makes it easy for them. They usually have one that they prefer over the other. That's pretty much how that works. The downside of a duopoly is the news wires are very expensive. PR Newswire charges over $1,600 to move a press release nationally. The good news is that with e-releases, you don't have to pay anything close to that. All of our releases do go out nationally through PR Newswire, because we represent small businesses and entrepreneurs and startups and speakers and authors and people who don't have a budget of spending $20,000 to $30,000 on Newswire services, the salespeople are never going to reach out to them. So they like that we service those people. They recognize that the wallets and pocketbooks of these people are very limited. We were able to negotiate a really good rate, largely because we represent so many people. We move over 10,000 releases a year on average for small businesses and entrepreneurs.
Cool. Hey, question on the press release. So you send this off with the hope of getting written about it. Does the journalist typically just read the press release or write an article, or do they more often than not reach out to the press contact and get more information?
About 95% of the time, they prefer to work off the press release and the website of the client. 5% of the time, they'll call, ask for clarifying questions or more information. They're busy. They hate playing phone tag back and forth with people, so they like to have all the information there. Generally, they only contact you if they have questions or there's a problem, or maybe they've written the article and then their managing editor asks, are you sure that this is correct? And they're like, well, let me check with them. So it is definitely the standard that most of the time they don't reach out and call.
And given the fact that they're checking your website, should you have a press section if you're putting out press releases? Is that like a no-brainer, or do they just gotta look around your site?
So it would be ideal if you had a newsroom, having represented so many small businesses over the years, I know that's a really big ask for people who already have a website up, and they know that every time they contact the web designer, it's like $1,500 here, $1,500 there. So one of the things that I do suggest is, if you don't have a newsroom, maybe you have a blog, and maybe you create a category in your blog called newsroom or news or something. And maybe that's where you put your press releases, as well as your wins. You know, when you do get an article, you know, have a screenshot there and, information about that media pickup. So I think, that can work. I feel like there's such good content in press releases and talking about your industry that's so specific there that, building out a newsroom or a section on your website can really be a great a value to you as far as like potential inbound traffic, long tail keywords and things like that.
So let me backtrack a little bit, because let's say I'm just now starting my business and I'm like, oh my gosh, this sounds great. I totally want to get discovered by a reporter and written about, talked about on the news, maybe, who knows. Are press releases right for every business? You work with a lot of small businesses. we're specifically talking to solopreneurs, when does it make sense and when does it not make sense? And do you see kind of a pattern of the types of businesses it works better for as opposed to others?
So I think it works better if you're doing something that's unique, like you have a USP, unique selling proposition. There's something about you that's a little bit different than everybody else in your industry, because it's easier to distinguish you as being different. That being said, you know, people that aren't unique can get media pickup. I've had really good success. It takes a little more work and being a little more creative. The things that I find so interesting about PR and press releases specifically is, so many people will approach us and ask us, is this press release written well enough? And I always tell people, let's take a step back and determine, why did you choose this subject and was it the best subject for you? A well-written press release that's not about a newsworthy subject isn't going to result in anything. So that's one of the big challenges. The most popular press release that we get at e-releases is a personnel change, and it's usually not an executive, and it's usually not an industry veteran. So the newsworthiness is just not there. Most people do not care that Zach now works as an associate in HR. I would suggest, rather than spend money, even with us, even though we're cheaper than going to the newswire, I would take that money and save it for a more strategic type of press release. And a better solution would be to send an email to your local newspaper. If you have a business magazine or business newspaper in the area, send them an email just announcing the personnel change and a photo, because that's probably all you're going to get. Maybe you could also reach out to a trade publication, especially if they have an on-the-move section where they just put a little photo and a couple of sentences. But that's not a very big get. I don't think it's going to drive much in the way of sales or visibility for a company. So I would just request my advice to most people is be more strategic and do more strategic types of press releases. And things like that are owning your own story. What is your story? There's a reason that most people who appear on Shark Tank lead with their story, what inspired them or allowed for the creation of this business or product. Usually there's something that, could be inspirational, could be an obstacle they overcome or a vulnerability. Maybe a spouse died and they had this hobby and they're like, maybe I could transform this into a real business. I got laid off. And so me and my buddy took this idea and decided we're going to start a business with it. So, I think the reason that so many people open with that is because it really humanizes the people. It's a human interest element. At the end of the day, viewers at home, as well as people who read news, they want to read about people. They want to know about the people behind companies. They don't want to do business with logos and corporations. They want to do business with people. And the more you can do about humanizing your story, you have that's something that translates really well with the media.
Does it make sense for people to use press releases to announce their business? Like, as a first move, I'm a solopreneur, I just started this new thing, this is awesome. Does it make sense to do it as a here I am, look at me piece? Or does it make sense to wait until they have a little bit of experience under their belts to make sure everything's working properly and then make the announcement?
I think it's okay if you have a story there. I look at a lot of launch press releases and there isn't a story there. It's, here's a new business. This is what we provide. Nothing distinguishable from anybody else that provides that service. A quote about someone who's excited about starting, but just not a lot there to stick with. So if you have a very unusual story, I would say, yes, that probably lends itself to a good launch press release. If you have a very interesting past, certainly that can lead to some media pickup. But for a lot of people, I would say, it may not be the right time. Maybe hold off until you have something else to align with it. So you're sharing your story of the launch or that you've recently opened, but with something a little more meaningful.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And so then my other question is, you were talking about the reporters that are reading these things are super busy. And so you want to be clear, concise. What are some tips people can use to increase the conversion rates of these press releases? Because solopreneurs are also super busy. So what is the win-win for both sides?
Right. So, let's get to the point. What's the most important aspect first? Journalists are storytellers. They're protecting their most valuable asset, which is their audience. What is it about what you're announcing that is either going to educate, entertain, or delight their audience? And if you don't have something there that's meaningful, it's very unlikely that, you're going to pass the test that they're going to want to write an article about you. It really boils down to having an interesting story or data that they know that the audience would relate to and want to know about. For example, one of the solutions I have for a lot of people who come to me and they just feel like we're not newsworthy. There's nothing we can do that's really newsworthy. In this case, it was an auto repair shop out not too far from Philadelphia, but they were in their own town. And they had lost their website because it was attached to the Yellow Pages somehow, the domain name. And so they had a new domain name. And an SEO guy that I knew said, Mickey can get you ranking again. And so I told them, having talked to him, there's not a lot about you that's newsworthy. And, your goal was to get auto industry links back to them. And I said, a survey or study within your industry is the only thing that potentially could work. And their eyes glazed over because they're just like, oh, that sounds like so much work. And who are we to do a survey in our industry? But, I coached them through it. It's something I do with a lot of clients. It's literally the hard part's coming up with 16 meaningful questions that are relevant right now today in your industry. And, and sometimes you can pick some weird left field questions when you're brainstorming. I put them towards the back because we load these up in SurveyMonkey, 4 questions per page. And sometimes people give up, second page, I'm gone. But you still have, 8 responses and hopefully the more meaningful ones. But I put the strange ones towards the back just so you don't alienate them off the bat. And you take the link for SurveyMonkey and you share it. And, the next thing I got from the auto, that auto shop was, we don't have a lot of other people in the industry we know. But I was like, well, tell me about some trade associations you belong to. And one was an independent trade association, which I think had under 3,000 members. And I said, that's perfect. They're not a large trade association. This doesn't work with large trade associations because they're big, they're bureaucratic, and they get lots of media attention. But the small and independent trade associations, and I guarantee you there's dozens in every industry, you just have to do a little research. They're out there. Some could be regional, some could be specific to a demographic, but there's also lots of other ones that are just out there. And find one. You're looking for, I would say, probably 800 or more members. The goal is to get 100 responses or more with the survey. You send them the link and ask them, hey, could you send this to your members? And in exchange for that, we'll include you in a press release we'll be issuing over the wire in the coming weeks. And almost all the time, the small and independent trade associations will say yes, because it's a win-win for them to get a little media attention as well. Some have pushed back and asked if you can co-brand the survey. I don't see a downside to that. It's them being a little more strategic. I'm like, all good for that. It's just you aligning yourself a little bit more with this trade association. You're looking for them to send it out, ideally through email. Some will do social media, some will do both. But you're really looking to hit that 100 or more. Look at the results. What were the big aha moments, the surprises? And you're generally going to focus on 2 or 3 of those aha moments for the press release. I recommend building out a website where you put all the questions and responses, because a really clever journalist can go hunt there to see if there's another story they could do. The press release should really focus on just two or three of those questions at most. And you're going to have a great quote by yourself, why you felt the numbers skewed a particular way, some analysis there. And generally, when my clients send that out, they get 8 to 14 earned media articles, 8 to 14 articles that are about that survey, about them. And, you know, that's huge. The least we've ever gotten is 4. And you can always sort of look back as to what you could have done to maybe boost it up a little bit. But it's always worked. And it does take a little bit more effort. But if you approach it like I did with, you know, procedures, it's not that difficult to do. And it's one way where if you just feel I'm not newsworthy at all, you can, you know, greatly stand out. In their case, they got picked up by, I think, around 17 publications, including their local newspaper, which we weren't sure that was going to happen, but it did. And it was all because of that little survey. And within, I think, 60 to 90 days, they were ranking number one in their area with a new domain name when people did a search for them. So that was the ultimate goal of trying to use the authority links of automotive trade publications, which have a great authority linking to them. And in the case, I think only 7 of the publications ended up linking to them, not all of them, but that was enough to really get them.
That is so interesting and just such a good reminder, because we have a lot of independent consultants, coaches, everything on here, and they're all valuable, but they are kind of a dime a dozen sometimes. there are just so many. And this is a great way to differentiate themselves. So that's a really good point, a good tip to take home. And the one question I have is, you were saying it can be a lot of work. Things can be a lot of work. Press releases themselves can take time. So I have a two-part question. And that is, if people wanted to press releases themselves, where do they start? And then I want to follow that with, if they want to hire somebody to do them for them, who do they like? What do they look for in a person? But let's start with the DIY. If a person starting out as a solopreneur wants to do this themselves, what do they do?
So I would recommend that they visit eReleases. I have a free masterclass that sort of goes through how to create a winning PR strategy. It's based on the PR campaigns of my most successful clients. The survey study one I gave is one of those. And it's at eReleases.com/plan, PLAN. It's less than an hour long video. It's completely free. That's a great place to start, because if you go there and audit yourself and your practice or small business with these ideas, you should walk away with at least 6 strategic types of releases you could do. These are the ones that are more likely to get pickup. I think DIY is the way to go. And my reason for that is I'm sort of dumbfounded at the fact that so many PR firms don't do like the survey or study, and they don't do creative stuff that I know works. And, I've worked with so many clients who've spent $20,000 to $40,000 with PR firms previously, and there is no guarantee of earned media with most PR firms. I don't guarantee media pickup, but I've been entertained with the idea of, like, maybe I should just create a $20,000 PR campaign that guarantees pickup, and one of the cornerstones of it could be the survey and study, and help the client develop that and get that out. But that being said, my goal is to get my clients to just do it themselves and walk them through the process. I think that's really one of the great things to do. I can't imagine a PR firm taking $20,000 to $40,000 and not delivering anything. And yet it happens again and again by so many people. And I'm just like, I guarantee if you did a campaign of 6 to 8 releases, which is usually the minimum for a PR campaign, and you follow my ideas for doing strategic ones, and one of them is the survey, you're going to have at least 2 or 3 of those releases result in earned media. I just don't see how it could not happen. And yet there are PR firms that choose the safe press releases that everybody else is doing. And I'm not seeing PR firms or practitioners that I could recommend that offer any kind of real media pickup. The only notable exception are those that do paid placement. So you can get like, I think Forbes is one of those places that has contributors where you can just be on Forbes' website. And that's not real earned media. You're not going to get in a magazine of Forbes. You're just paying a premium to be on Forbes' website, a location on the website that doesn't get a huge amount of traffic. It's really good for using the logo and telling people or giving the link out to people, but it's not real earned media. So I'm just really suspicious of a lot of people when it comes to solopreneurs and people with small budgets, because I don't see PR firms being proactive in a way that is designed to really leverage and get a lot of earned media. I don't know why they're not wearing their thinking caps and doing strategic types of releases, but so many of them just follow the safe route. And if you know, at the end of the year, they didn't guarantee anything and you really didn't have much happen other than syndication, where the press release gets replicated on a few websites, which happens with everyone. It really, nothing meaningful happens. And that's a real shame, because I think that controlling the PR yourself, doing stuff strategically, certainly you could hire someone to write the release, but you really should be coaching them on what the release should be about. And it should be strategic, doing the survey or doing your story or, some of the other ideas I have are being a sane contrarian on a subject matter works really well, especially if you have a hot topic in your industry and everybody's like on the same side. Is there a way that you could position yourself to be on the opposite side? And the reason for that is journalists like to be fair and balanced. And every time they report on this topic, they're not reporting on the other side, because no one's raised their hand and said, I represent this other side and I'd love to talk about and discuss it. So, electric cars, it seems like everybody writes about how positive that is for the environment, but maybe you're the one person raising their hand and saying, hey, maybe not so fast. 30,000 gallons of water to put out a fire, of an electric car. How do we solve getting rid of these batteries in an environmental way? And are we, finding the best solutions to get these minerals out of the ground to make these batteries? I'm hearing about a lot of environmental catastrophes around mining, not to mention labor issues. And so that's a way to be sane and level-headed and rational, but you're also putting out the contrarian viewpoint. Why this is so great is if you are just joining the conversation like everybody else, you might get one article, but if you're the person who's being the contrarian, every article that's out there has the potential for them to pop you in, because you're the only person being the contrarian on that viewpoint. And so you have a potential to have many, many articles where you come in with a contrarian quote or a contrarian viewpoint. And it's a great way to stand out, as long as the views that you take do not alienate you from your customer base.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, so I have a, this is just me having a marketing background, but not in the PR space. So the other question I was going to ask was, if you are going to hire a PR firm, which I know you said that's probably not the best route to go, but let's say somebody is like, oh, well, but I want to just say that I have a PR firm and they do want to go that route. You were saying that a lot of PR firms put guarantees on things.
Oh, almost none of them put guarantees.
Oh, then I misheard you. Okay, because that was my question.
So there are a few that go under guaranteed placement as part of their name. They're not big, they're not well known, but what they do is paid placement. And so you're going to get that paid article on Forbes, and you're going to get paid placements on other places. Technically, it should say paid or sponsored or something on the page where you're listed to be in compliance with the government. I'm just telling you that I feel like that's just a fool's errand. I've had clients who have done a press release and been asked to be on the Tonight Show, Good Morning America. I've had them be on New York Times, Wall Street Journal, all of these great places. That can never happen with paid placement. It's just not. And that potentially could happen, if you follow the pursuit of real earned media. And, that's for me is the ultimate goal, is to get real meaningful media pickup. And, you know, if you're pursuing paid placement, it's expensive and it's not going to be meaningful. I don't think you'll get any traffic from any of the pickup. These aren't pages that get a lot of, traffic to them. They're not organic pages. They're not appearing with all the other Forbes articles that are the same in print. They're just ways of which these poor publishers are trying to monetize themselves a little bit. And it's not the solution that people are looking for. A wild example, it is probably the most extreme example, but it's on my website as a case study. Early in the pandemic, we did a free press release for, it was a PR firm that was working on an effort called the Dining Bond Initiative. And it was set up very shortly to help restaurants that were closed during the pandemic. Sent out one press release, hit send. We quit counting at 100 after 150 articles were picked up. All the big places picked it up: Wall Street, Washington Post, New York Times, all the big ones. A lot of your food trades picked it up, and then just so many local papers across the U.S. That's where we stopped counting, because you just could have counted and counted. Probably over 300 places picked it up. Over $11 million in revenue generated from one press release. That's a huge return. You could never get that for paid placement. I guarantee that anything you put in paid placement, you will see no ROI unless you can somehow take that logo and it increases the conversions on your website. I don't know that it will. I don't think that it will, not in a way that justifies the expenses. But with earned media, you do have the potential to drive sales. Can improve conversions as well, because you can take the same article and share it with your leads, share it with your customers. There's always customers who churn. They think about trying someone else because they want to make sure they're using the best company. But maybe they read that article and they say, "Yep, I'm with the best company this year." And that is one of the things that happens with earned media, and why it converts so well is because it's seen as like social proof or this big credibility boost. It almost acts like an implied endorsement. Our blinders that come up with ads do not come up with articles. I personally can recall many times I've read an article or a blog post about a great Kickstarter campaign. I see what they were trying to accomplish, and then I click through and see that the price to back them isn't crazy, and then I just do it. And that happens with earned media all the time. Rarely ever happens with ads.
So to circle back to the thing I was going to ask was, is it considered, because in the rest of the marketing world, a guaranteed something is a red flag. Like, I guarantee 10,000 leads for your company. If you hire me, that's a red flag. You don't want to go with them. So is a guarantee
correct,
considered a red flag for PR firms as well?
Because, yes.
Because it's sponsored, like it would just basically be sponsored content, like you were saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. So look out for that if you do go the PR agency route. But as Mickey was saying, maybe it's best to DIY it first. But I'm glad you were saying $11 million for what was brought in, which is crazy. But I do also know that PR can be really difficult to measure the ROI of, right? So for a solopreneur who really is counting every penny they spend, what are some recommendations for tracking ROI? Not just with press releases, but just with PR. And for those of you listening, we haven't said PR is public relations. So sorry if we haven't clarified that yet. But what are your tips for that?
Sure. So yeah, ROI is one of the things that makes it so difficult for a marketer to wrap their head around PR. Because it's like, can we include a tracking link in the press release? Yes, but I guarantee you 100% of the people that do publish a URL aren't going to post that. They're going to go to your website and take the link there. They're not going to include any tracking information. Can we ask them to? No, you can't. They're not going to. They have a policy there. New York Times policy is we never link to you. Despite that, I've had them link to one article once, and it was a survey where we had built out a resource page that was so thick with information in addition to the survey that they thought it was useful to send people there. And so they made an exception that one time. They generally don't.
Why? What is the policy? Like, why is that?
Okay, because websites go down and all of a sudden they're linking to a porn site. or something else. That's one of the big reasons. And, you know, with everything else that they have going on, having someone looking at links all the time, because links often, they don't go down for very long because someone snaps them up and they're just back up under a new life and a new entity. And so they generally don't link to you. That being said, you know, you still get SEO credit for an article where there is no link to you. You know, Google long ago patented, and a lot of people talk about it, that it, you know, it's a real thing that they can tell through the context of an article whether it's about a particular website. And if they read about e-releases and press release distribution in an article in the New York Times, they know it's about me, and I get the credit as if that's a real link to my website, even though there is no link there. It's called an implied link. And so it does give you benefit, and, you know, and people still pay attention, open a new window or a tab, and, you know, find the company they read about and do business with them all the time. So, you know, how do you measure that? You know, one of the things is, you know, most people know what trajectory they're on. You know, we're growing 5% month to month, or we're down and it's been trending, we're down 5% every month. You do a PR campaign, you get some earned media that month, and all of a sudden that month you're up 12%. Pretty good assumption that the media pickup was a contributing factor in that. But, you know, it's also really inexplicably hard to prove exactly that. I do have some people who've been able to see incoming traffic from a particular article and measure that. In the case of one that I talked to a couple weeks ago, they had gotten, I think, over 300 visitors from one article, and they said it looked like 200 of them converted, and they were just like, "This is obviously wrong, right?" And I was like, "Not necessarily, you know, probably a lot more people than 300 read the article, but 300 read it enough that they clicked the link, and then they went to your website, and over 200 bought." You're as a consumer product, I think it was $29. I was like, that's an impulse buy. I think it is probably. They read the article, you know, that rapport and excitement that happens with reading an article about someone. The fact it's an article is a huge signal of trust. They just clicked through and bought. I think it's very likely that it was. So in some cases, looking at your logs, and if you do have that ability, can be useful to determining some things, but also asking questions. A lot of my customers are in the B2B space, so they're not really having something that you can just click and buy for $29. But, you know, they do have people who come on board, ask for white papers, or sign up as a lead, or, you know, potentially do business. And one of the great things is, how did you first hear about us? And that's a great way to record for people. How did they hear about you? It might be able to attribute some of that to a specific article or publication.
Yeah, that's really smart.
Put that on the form. Yeah, just put that on the form and just have a drop down or something that, you know, says article or, yeah, that's great. What a good idea.
Well, and also in terms of like tracking, does it ever make sense to do like a specific offer that people would only know about if they saw it like out in the wild for release, or if people are just starting, do they start with just a press release and then they hold off on any email marketing or ads or whatever so they can kind of silo it out at the beginning, or is just like?
So I have people who do that, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And the downside is, because it's an offer you've never put in front of paid customers, you don't know what the conversion rate is. And so, you know, you bring in 17 people, you know, these 17 people definitely came from the earned media, but, you know, maybe you were selling a bundle, and maybe if you had sent them to a more traditional page, they would have converted more. It's really an unknown as far as the conversion rates and throwing in a lot of different variables, things like that. The truth of the matter is, the more you silo someone with a special offer specific to that article, the more likely the article won't include the link. You know, the last thing that the news likes to be seen as is like promoting direct sales. And, you know, so they'll certainly link to a website, maybe to a product page. But if it's a specific page to convert a special offer, I think you run the risk that they won't honor that. And that's one of the things that I think would happen.
Yeah. Such a good point. Well, Mickey, this has been so informative and so educational for me. Like I said, I am in the marketing world and I don't know any of this stuff. So I think it's so helpful for our audience who are just starting their businesses. So we ask all of our guests this, and you help people find success every day in the earned media world. So what is your favorite quote about success?
I'm not coming up with one on the spot. It might be my ADHD mind. I do think that one of the people I think about is Perry Marshall, who wrote a book on 80-20, the 80-20 of marketing, I think is what it's called. And one of the things that he points out is that there's so many aspects of your business that if you apply this 80-20 Pareto principle to, it can really make a meaningful difference in your business. And for example, like maybe 80% of your headaches day to day are caused by 20% of your customers, and maybe you should let them go. And that's just one of the easy ones, but there's so many other little aspects like that that make me think about it. And I'm sure there's a quote around that, but it's not coming to mind. But
no, those are great parting words of wisdom. We'll take it.
Absolutely.
And Mickey, we've talked about your business, but if people want to learn more about you, where can they find you?
So the website's ereleases.com. Feel free to email or call. You'll only speak to an editor, no salespeople, no commissions or anything like that. I do have that free masterclass. It's an hour-long video. Again, it's at ereleases.com/plan, P-L-A-N, and it's completely free. My goal is to get people to do more meaningful types of releases. And I know that if people do meaningful releases and see meaningful returns, they'll come back again and again.
Awesome. Well, this has been so great. Thank you so, so much for coming on this show. And listeners, we have been talking about earned media and building credibility. And Joe, do you know what else builds credibility? Five-star reviews.
Yes,
help that. So
that does.
We love what we do. We want to continue doing it. Please leave us a 5-star review, a comment, refer a friend, subscribe to YouTube, all of the above. We love having you here. And we will see you next week on The Aspiring Solopreneur.
You may be going solo in business, but that doesn't mean you're alone. In fact, millions of people are in your shoes, running a one-person business and figuring it out as they go. So why not connect with them and learn from each other's successes and failures? At LifeStar, we're creating a one-person business community where you can go to meet and get advice from other solopreneurs. Be sure to join in on the conversations at community.lifestar.com. That's community.lifestar with two R's.com.